Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take newsletter, a commodity risk manager here at StoneX. And I work with anything in futures and options, hedge and spec, end user and producer, OTC and swaps, cash consulting within the industry, and happy to talk to anyone here who's a client, whether we're doing something on this podcast or something else, or you may want to add on. Give me a call, shoot me a text. If you're not a client here and you're interested in working with us, whether you're a spec or hedge, producer, end user, OTC and swap markets, banking, just give us a call. My number here is 312-706-7610. My email is craig.turner@stonex.com. If you like the podcast, feel free to recommend it to anybody. You can find it on iTunes. And if you give us a positive review. That's how a lot of people find us. That'd be fantastic. And if you want to check out the newsletter, just go over to turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com, and you can check out the newsletter there. So let's get into it. Macro markets today had a big scare. I think the Dow at one point was down almost 900. Crude oil was down $5, caused a lot of selling in the rest of the markets. On the stock side or in the macro, I guess the big picture in the macro, there is some real concern about this new Delta variant. We talked about it. There could be a short-term dive in the market. You never know what's going to happen. It looks like this was it. I know I was talking about selling crude a couple of weeks ago, and here we go. We've got the big downplay. Now, if we're going to know for the short sellers, you know, I always think short selling is kind of a, you know, you look for that quick, big move and then you get out. And then you start looking for some value here. And is there value in the stock market or crude? There could be. I think we do need to wait and see for at least a day or two how much concern the U.S. and the world needs to be of this Delta variant for the coronavirus. And really what it is who's going to shut down and for how long and what kind of, how's that going to impact the economy? It might not, we might not have a lot of shutdowns. This could be very short term in nature. Hope it's not a repeat of last time around. That would be very tough on everyone. I will say this though, you know, even if we do have shutdowns, always remember that, you know, the big crash or the big down moves, because you get some kind of systemic risk or act of God kind of event. The first time it happens, it's so unknown that everything gets sold, the good with the bad, right? The baby with the bathwater. And the second time around, you get sell-offs, but people know what the game plan is. They know what this crisis looks like. They know what to expect and things. And because there's a less uncertainty, doesn't mean it's not bearish, but because there's less uncertainty, you don't see the downward plunge that you do the first time around. And that's true of... Give you two great examples. One, the U.S. debt ceiling. The first time, you know, we were going to go through the debt ceiling, everyone thinks the United States is going to default on debt, and the selling was vicious in the stock market. I don't know exactly how much we were down, but I want to say it was close to 20%. We almost went to a bear market because of it in the short term, and then it bounced back up whenever we realized they're going to raise the debt ceiling and no one's defaulting on anything, and away we go. The second time, and even the third time, I think there's a debt ceiling fight. We sold off, but it was never anything like the first time. Like, it's not bullish at all, but it definitely wasn't nearly the move down and how fast it was like the first time. The second time, I'll remind everyone of, is the euro. When the euro thought it was going to basically break apart, I want to say it was Greece or Portugal at first. It was the pigs countries. And I think it was Greece that I was concerned about default. And the currency markets were just violent moves. And after that first one, there was some concern about the euro again and Greece and the breakup and all that stuff. But it was never as bad as that first time. So I just like to remind everyone about that. So if we do get sell-offs, it doesn't mean the market can't go lower. But don't think we'll have a repeat of what it was like in March of last year and April, where absolutely no one knew what to expect. I mean, now there is some kind of a game plan, some kind of expectations of how these go, how long it takes. People know the drill. So that's just one thing I would say. Given that, doesn't mean this could be the end. It's just that the market's going to have a little bit better feel for it. So that's one thing. Two, so stocks could certainly still come down. The market's very concerned about coronavirus and economic activity slowing down. What they'll do is they'll look at the last time around, see what kind of economic impact that had. How does that affect earnings? How does that affect growth? How does that affect GDP? And they'll discount the market appropriately. And now they have a blueprint for it. Crude not only got hurt by that, but I mean, on the same day OPEC comes out and says they're increasing output for the rest of the year. I mean, talk about a double whammy in the crude oil market, which I don't think you can't predict that kind of stuff. I mean, that's just getting lucky if you're on the short side here, and unlucky if you're on the long side to have that combo happen the same day. But that's the way it is. Crude is up down $5. I bet, we probably see support. I'm thinking in the low 60s, definitely the high 50s. And it's just going to be dependent upon how much we actually produce here in OPEC land. And then how, what's the real seriousness of energy demand? I think the problem here is half the cases of the Delta variant is people who are fully vaccinated. So it's going to have to be the lockdown or the, I wouldn't be surprised if some countries take the opposite approach saying, none of this is working. So why shut down the economy? I can see it going both ways. I'm not getting into politics or what I think should happen. I'm just, as an analyst here and as a broker and a trader, I'm going into this thinking, well, we could shut down half the world again, but there's also, you may even see some economies being like, well, we're getting it anyways. Why ruin the economy? So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see who goes which way on how they implement things in terms of lockdowns and restrictions, or they don't. So I think that will play. And that's not just today's story. This is now going to be a story going forward and kind of be an overhang of the market for a little while here. What was interesting with the grain markets after being up overnight, pretty good because of the weather, the macro markets really fell apart and brought down the grain markets. Like, for example, you can't have crude oil be down $5 and expect soybean oil to hang in there. Just not going to happen. There's too much of a relationship between energy prices and biodiesel. But, the rest, I mean, the market fairly, besides what was directly tied to energy, I mean, wheat was up about 8 cents. Soybeans were down 16 or 17. That's not the end. And that was really bean oil bringing it down there, 2 pennies. Corn was almost unchanged on the day. Kansas City wheat, I mean, the Minneapolis wheat up 7. So the grain markets ended up hanging in there, which really goes with, and the interesting about that is with all that money flow out, when the world markets settle down, does money come back into commodities or, because there is, there is a relationship between risk assets, right? And if the big, and let's face it, the crude oil market and the global equity market are bigger markets than the commodity markets. So once the selling stops on those, what happens with the grain marks? You would think there'd be kind of a bounce here. But again, we'll just have to see. Going forward with corn. Actually, before I just get into these individual products, there are two more things I really want to talk about here. The first is the Canadian weather. Some people are describing the Canadian drought as like a 100-year drought. And, the more we do, I do work with Canadian clients and clients who are north, way north on the U.S. border there in the northern plains, stone's throw from Canada. And things are not good. And if you get drought up there and then in those northern plains, not only is the U.S. might have underproducing, North America is going to be underproducing. And unless we get some kind of tropical storm to come through and break up this weather pattern that we're seeing develop here over the next let's say 2 to 4 weeks, we'll probably have a ridge up there. It's going to be hot and dry for a while. And, you know, if there wasn't a huge sell-off in the global markets today, grains probably would have been a lot higher. So that's something to keep an eye on. And then finally, for corn, we probably stay in, you know, in this range here of where we have the gap. For soybeans, we could go higher. It's just going to depend on how many beans we lose up north. We don't have much to lose. There's going to be this debate on the western, basically the eastern belt into the central belt, and how much it can make up for western and northern plains in Canada. So that will be a big topic of discussion. And meanwhile, while all this is going on, the markets thin. And there's definitely 100% trader fatigue out there, whether it be between farmers, end users, individual traders, corporations. There is some real fatigue going on in brokers, myself, in the grain markets. I mean, the ups and downs that have been going on now, which feels like 5 months, is a real marathon if anyone's involved in these markets. And I think this month, July, I mean, post 4th of July, I've definitely seen it. You can see it in the bids and the asks in the market. You know, any type of volume is pushing these things up and down. It's why we can be up 20 in the overnight and down 20 by the next morning and not see a ton of volume, but it's just, there's no resting orders in there. I don't see a ton of resting orders from the end users buying it at levels in the dips. I don't see a lot of resting orders up above with farmers willing to park crop. Everyone kind of wants to take a wait and see attitude. And when that happens and there's this kind of uncertainty around prices, you get gaps on the chart. You get situations where it almost seems like a vacuum of, you know, where we're going up and down. So what does that mean going forward? I don't think the volume and the volatility, I don't think the volume in terms of basically resting orders in the market, which is we refer to as the depth of market, not to get too technical here, which is really where liquidity lies in, you know, on the bids and offers and the amount of them in the market. And two, you know, the volatility, you know, getting under control until we know more about this crop, because every little bit we add on at this point or take away has price implications. So we're in January 19th. I guess we'll find out a lot about corn, how pollination went, and what people think the yields are over the next couple of weeks. And then once we get past that point, we should have a very good idea of where the supply side in corn is. Beans are still a couple of weeks out to even get into the most critical stage there. And those beans are going to be made in August. So, you know, we still may have one or two more legs of some very volatile markets here. And you can see the fatigue in the traders, in who's, you know, and in the market participation. So personally, I think we still have another run up here, just mainly because it's a weather market and it's going to get hotter and drier, it looks like, and the market's going to play into that. Always remember, weather markets are like a musical chairs, right? As soon as the music stops, they pull one away. That would be a rain, right? As soon as it rains, you know, it goes around and around and around, then it rains, and then they pull the chair underneath from you, unless the damage is so far done, you can't do anything about it. But we're not there. We're not there yet. And there will be a crop. There's going to be a crop in the United States, and there are going to be some areas that do very well, especially in the Eastern Corn Belt. It's just going to be how bad does it get in parts of the Western Belt and the Northern Plains? And, you know, will that bring down the national average? And if by how much? And if so, by how much? Certainly Canada is going to have much lower yields this year. So when you take a look at North America, and, you know, what's the North American production going to be? It's going to be lower, most likely. And, you know, I'm talking about wheat and, you know, oils, vegetable oil, because, you know, the canola is having such a rough go of it. Corn and soybeans, a lot of corn and soybeans are in the eastern part of Canada, where the real drought is developed. Is that, if you look at a map, like Winnipeg to Calgary, like those, that big area, and that's a lot of wheat, that's a lot of canola, barley. So, you know, and those markets, I'm going to guess oats, but I don't want to, not 100% on that, but oats is usually in that region and also in the Northern Plains of the United States. We don't talk about oats that much. It's a very small contract, but it is also rallied. But again, it's, I'd rather have you be trading Minneapolis wheat or mean, even rice is a bigger market than oats. So, and that may have some problems too. So that's where we are. So I think going forward, we're going to let the market settle out here. I do like taking shots to the upside for the moment. And again, it's buying call spreads and selling put spreads. To be involved in futures, we move up and down too fast. To be either long a straight option or short an option, that can be tough just in terms of how much it costs, you know, to buy an option. If you're looking for option selling, there are a lot of people like to sell vol out there. I get it. There are some interesting plays. I would think there's enough meat on the bone to sell spreads, right? If you want to really sell vol instead of just the outright options. But, you know, if you're a big boy or if it's a corporate account or something like that, you know, and you have unlimited funds, then it doesn't really matter. You just collect the premium. But if you're not working with that kind of account, I would probably look into selling spreads if you want to collect on the vol. And then for bean oil, we're going to have to let that settle out, see what happens with the crude oil market, and keep an eye on the weather and crop progress report. So it should be a very interesting couple of weeks. I'm not expecting a whole lot of direction unless things really start to go south, and then we'll start seeing the short covering and the buying and the funds coming in. So, and if it is, who knows? I mean, when we had some of those rallies back in 2012, they were late season rallies and even into the fall. But that only happens when you have drought that really hits production. So I guess time will tell. That is something we need to keep in the back of our mind. If it's just a regular weather rally and we do have the crop, this is where the prices start going down. If the drought is for real and we're going to have some serious issues and have to do continue some pretty extreme price rationing, you can actually see the markets here rally. So hope everyone is having a good week. Call me if you need anything. We can take a look at some positions. Keep it small. If you are on the corporate side or the end user side, there is some very interesting OTC contracts and accumulators that you can use going out for the next 6 months to 18 months that can get you some very favorable prices on the downside. And the way things are looking, I'll have to post my balance sheet. The way things are looking for the balance sheet, we're going to be tight in soybeans for a year, at least corn for 6 months, most likely. And the way some of the early weather modeling is going, South America could have some issues next year. Now that's a long way off. We're not that long. I mean, we're July and they start planting in fall and winter, but some of the long-term forecasts aren't looking as favorable as we were kind of hoping for crop development in the next cycle for South America. So hope everyone's doing well out there. Be careful, swim at your own risk on some of these positions. Don't leave too much exposed, and give me a call if you need anything. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.